Well, I want to, and I think we've done this perhaps several times as we've come to it, but focus on the concept in the name of Christ. In the name of Christ. What is that all about? A very exciting concept. We have Christ's guarantee of answered prayer. And people are hesitant to mention this, but there's no way around it if you believe what the Bible says. John 14, verses 13 and 14. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do. Notice, whatsoever you shall ask, that will I do. The only part in the middle, in my name. You ask it in my name. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. John 15, 16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. This is picturing what his process was, what his goal was, what his work was, you see. To go forth, bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. So this is talking as he's getting ready to leave and telling them about how things are going to be when he's gone. They'll be asking the Father. And then John 16, 23, 24, and 26, and in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. And then verse 26, at that day you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. I don't, like now, you ask for me to do something, I pray the Father. But then, you're just praying in my name. I don't have to ask. You're praying the Father and he will give it to you. So that verse that we were looking at the beginning, John 14, 13, it links, whatsoever you shall ask, with that will I do. And the only missing link between them is in my name. So it's important for us to understand what this means. We recognize that when the Apostle Paul prayed for the thorn to be removed, God basically said no. So let us then ask, in what is the condition? What is he talking about to ask in his name? So let's look at the precise meaning of praying in Christ's name. We find many examples, and I'll be giving you some, but we find the practical meaning of the terms in the Old Testament. We'll go back to 1 Samuel 25, 5 to 9. David is running away from King Saul, and a lot of people feel like he felt that the powers that be were not helpful, and so a lot of people were joining him. So he's had his large group with him. And David, and so you have a group of people, you got to feed them. So he came up with a way of doing this. And it'll take a little explanation here, I think. But David sent out 10 young men, and David said unto the young men, get you up to Carmel, this is Mount Carmel, and go to Nabal. Now his name means fool. I don't know, how do you get a name fool and walk around with everybody knowing your name is fool? Hi, I'm fool. Nobody's going to make fun of you or something, I don't know. Go to Nabal and greet him in my name. Not in your name, in my name. You are representing me, you see. The Hebrew, ask him in my name of peace, but in my name. And thus shall ye say to him that liveth in prosperity, peace be both to thee, and peace be to thine house, and peace be unto all that thou hast. So here are 10 young men, perhaps look like ragamuffins, or they're not, they haven't warmed their feet at a hearth, they're living outside caves and stuff like that. But their words are full of peace. And these are David's words. And then he says, and now I have heard that thou, I, David, have heard that you, Nabal, hast shearers. shearing the sheep. Have you seen that? I've seen it at the state fair. The big, big sheep, and they come down, these little skinny sheep, all the wool is off. Now, thy shepherds, which were with us, we hurt them not. Here we are, this group of renegades, and we didn't have one, we didn't steal the sheep, we didn't hurt the shepherds, we didn't steal from them. They were with us, we were with them. Neither was there aught missing unto them all the while they were in Carmel. Now he says, we were guarding them. We were taking our prowess of fighting and just scaring everybody else off. Ask thy young men and they will show thee. Yeah, those guys are nice to us. Wherefore, let the young men, these 10 that are speaking, find favor in thine eyes, for we come in a good day. It's a good day. Things are going well with you. We were helping you. Give, I pray thee, whatsoever cometh to thine hand unto thy servants and to thy son David. So this is the message that they spoke, not of themselves, but of David. Our leader, David, says this. Peace, we did this. And so if you could help us out, give us some food, give us something to share. And when David's young men came, they spake to Nabal according to all those words in the name of David, and ceased. They didn't say, and by the way, my own personal story is this. They didn't do that. They were there on a mission that David had sent them, a mission to ask Nabal for help, seeing that they, without being asked, without his knowing anything about it, they had been helping him and giving him some aid. It turns out that he's a wealthy man, so that they talk, and he knows this is the guy that the king's looking for. This is not a guy he wants to help and be on the bad side of the king. So he says, who is David? Go away. Now, to ask in the name of Christ, then, is to do what these men did in the name of David. It is to ask your prayer request as Christ himself would ask. If Christ were speaking, this is what he would say. This eliminates a prayer from this guarantee. It eliminates a prayer. Like Paul said, I have this thorn in the flesh. It's a bother to me. I would just like to be rid of it. It's embarrassing to me, or whatever it was, see? It was an irritation to him. Would you move it? Now, he didn't need that removed for him to do the work of Christ. In fact, God was to explain to him that God had given him that problem so that people wouldn't be thinking that he was doing it all. So, we pray for help to accomplish his business. You get the idea, those 10 men were doing David's business. So, when we're praying in the name of Christ, we are praying for help to accomplish his business. So, it means to pray to further the work of Christ. Now, this has to be then fairly specific. Father, we could do a lot better work if someone were to die and bequeath us $2, $3, $4 million. That would help out a lot. We get a really nice building built there in Ethiopia. But is that necessary? Is that part of the plan of God? No, that would be something very nice and extra. In case you have a few million that you want to leave us. Please do so. So what is the official business of Christ? See? Well, we have that, the Great Commission. We're to pray for whatsoever we need to accomplish the ministry Christ set for us. Matthew 28:18-20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. This is his promise of power. I am giving you a command, marching orders, the business of the king, and all power is given to me. So he had restored his omnipotence. So his promise of power. He's going to close with another promise, but this is the promise of power. Now, three steps. Go ye therefore and teach. This is the actual word, to make disciples of all nations. This is, in that tiny little nutshell, the whole work of Christianity. It's not the church. Church hasn't begun yet. So this isn't a command to the church, because he's going to have them wait till the Holy Spirit comes to start the church. But this is to the individual Christians, to believers. And we then, you and me, not as Open Door Baptist Church, but as Christians, as believers, are to make disciples of. That's the goal of winning them to Christ and orienting them according to the truth, getting a good start on them. To be a disciple is more than a follower. A follower just kind of looks and says, well, I got to go home now. The disciple says, I am under the discipline of Christ. I am learning, I am growing, I'm developing. So make disciples of all nations. All nations here is ethnos, the word for Israel. They were the people, and everybody else was the nations. These are the nations. And you like the word ethnic comes from ethnos, different nations. And this was normally used by the Jews of Gentiles. So Christ has this in mind right from this. So this is personal soul winning. It is whatever you do to bring. So bringing your friend on the first day of a revival service, you see. Bring your friend, hoping that they will hear and get saved in the influence of the church and singing and wonderful things, that they will get saved. But personal soul winning. So that's the first step, getting them saved. Then secondly, baptizing them. Who? The ones who got saved. We don't baptize unbelievers. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. One name, notice, the name of God, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So this is bringing your converts into the church for membership. This is the standard process, you see. Now, at that immediate time, it would have been the gathering of believers, but not a full church yet, but now it is the church. And then the third is teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. This is the regular word for teaching. And teaching them to do what? To observe. This is getting them to pay careful attention to. Observe is to look at, notice, plan, listening with the purpose of obeying. Observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Teaching them the words of Christ. Now this is his program. This is his business. And if you have a difficulty, the final promise of power to begin with, and he sandwiches it at the end with his promise of presence, and he'll be with us. So what we're looking at, and you remember he said this after he had risen from the dead, and he had made an appointment to meet them at one of the mountains in Galilee. And so this is where undoubtedly above 500 had gathered there. It was the only time he had scheduled a visit. So it was the only time they could have gathered to see him. So this is the program. Now the church then is part of that program. They're at the end. Now that they're connected to the church, they're in the teaching ministry of the church. Purpose of the church is to bring people into proper orientation, to edify them. So, to ask in the name of Christ is to ask your prayer request as Christ himself would ask. I already said that. All right, so this is then the official business of Christ. What you're doing on this level, and you're held back because you need something, you can ask in his name. And he says, I'll take care of it. Now, sometimes he takes care of it in ways we didn't know. We didn't think that he would do it that way. But that's okay. He'll meet the need. All right. Now, to broaden this out, notice other things other than prayer may be done in the name of Christ. So, be aware that this concept gets a little bigger. Matthew 18, 5 and then 20. Whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. And so in the process of his authority, you receive a young child. He says, it's counted as the good deed of heaven that you have received Christ. That would be a pretty important thing. That's a gold mark, you see. And then verse 20, where two or three are gathered together in my name. So this is what we do when we gather, because we are trying to gather to be a part of that business. We are readying ourselves to teach the Christians how to do personal soul winning, how to understand the Bible and be able to explain it, and how to get people in for baptism and so on. So where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. So these follow Christ's program. The people who are doing this are following Christ's program. So they're doing it in his name. Mark 9:39, but Jesus said, forbid him not. People said, we saw a guy doing things out here that and he's not one of us. He said, don't forbid him. For there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. So if he's doing something in the name of Christ, he's not going to speak evil of Christ. It's just self-defeating. So here these give honor to Christ. They're doing this in his name. In Mark 9:41, for whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, verily I say to you, he shall not lose his reward. So here's following Christ's examples. Christ was careful to help people. And when people help you in the name of Christ, then they are doing it with Christ's blessing. Mark 16:17, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. These are miracles, spiritual miracles, that we follow through. We see that's exactly what happened in the early church. So doing Christ's business in his name, we may expect to see miracles. And we have seen that with answered prayer and other things. The stock market going up when we needed to fund some things. John 14:26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. Here's the Father doing something in the name of Christ. He, the Holy Spirit, shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. He's talking to the disciples. They're the ones who are going to write the scripture. So going to teach them everything, bring things to their remembrance. How could they remember all these words that Christ spoke? The Holy Spirit gave him that power. Whatsoever I have said unto you. So here God the Father follows the grand new covenant plan of salvation. And that final step was after Christ went to the very presence of God, presented his blood as the sacrifice, was accepted, then they sent the Holy Spirit. And then 1 Corinthians 5, 3-5, for verily as absent in the body, Paul is talking to them that they need to do some church discipline. I verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged or determined already, as though I were present, concerning him that hath so done this deed. There is something there that was not a Christian deed, nor could it be excused by a Christian. And so if he does not repent, then he is to be kicked out of the church, cast off the membership. So he says then in verse 4, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh. This is another way of saying, remove them from the protection of church membership. Church membership puts us under the spiritual protection of the church. But people that don't become members are out on their own, and there's some direct work. So Satan destroying the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of Jesus Christ. He says once they see that without the protection of church membership, of their spirit, they are being destroyed. The devil has freer hand to give them turmoil. And so all of this is in the name of our Lord Jesus. This is purifying the church according to Christ's program. Let me close then with just this to say that Christ is our example in prayer. One of the things that is involved in his work is bathing the whole thing in prayer. In other words, if we try to do his work in our strength, we can count on it as failure. We saw that echoed in Pastor's comments about how much he appreciated our prayers. There is something more than his diligence working there in Ethiopia. Christ, our example in prayer. Christ on earth lived as the example to every believer. 1 Peter 2:21 points this out. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ, you're called to suffer, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. Now he says Christ didn't answer back. He wasn't a smart aleck back to people. You think you can hurt me? Well, don't, you know, it was none of that. Just calm, quiet, and suffered as a hero, silently. And that was leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. So let's look then at what was his example in prayer. Now this is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the second person of the Trinity. This is the one who existed for eternity with God the Father and God the Son. But he showed us his unswerving dedication to his plan of salvation. He was ready to give everything. He showed us how prayer was needed to accomplish his business. And so this asking in his name is part of the deal. Just a few verses. Mark 1:35, in the morning, rising up a great while before day, missing sleep, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. Christ has said, enter into your closet. He didn't often have a closet, a separate little room. So his closet was a deserted place, solitary place, where he was the only one there, and he could speak out loud to God. I love being in a place where I can speak out loud. Speaking out loud means that I'm saying it out loud, but my mind is going over what I'm going to say. It's kind of crafting how I'm going to say. I get to think about what I'm saying rather than it. Mentally, it's just as soon as I think it, it's said, and that's too fast. I end up thinking of other things. That reminds me, John Donne talking about, how is it that I can pray to God Most High, and then the buzzing of a fly in the room takes my attention away from God? What kind of mind do I have, see? So speaking out loud is a great, great way of doing it. But he prayed a great while before day, because day was going to be a work day. He said, I don't have time to pray. Well, you do, you're just not taking it. Luke 5:15 and 16, but so much more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. Now, that means everybody wants his attention. Everybody says, me next, me next, me next. And so it's a crowded thing. Great multitudes, the plural multitudes, just piled multitude on multitude. So verse 16, he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. He was not ready to keep at the work 24/7. He had to go before God. Luke 16:12, and it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray. If you've been in the mountains, even the Smoky Mountains, but the grandeur of the Rocky Mountains are wonderful and be up there. Francis Schaeffer talks about going into his mountains of Switzerland and walking through the mountain passes and just talking to God all by himself. So his closet was a mountain, how about that? And he continued all night in prayer to God. I have been caught up in work that captured my attention, and then I had to check this and I had to check that, and then I look at it and I've been up all night. That's what happened when he began to pray. Luke 5:16, he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. Luke 9:28, it came to pass about 8 days after, this is looking at a full week later, these things, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. So this idea, with this we're finished, but with this idea, we recognize prayer is very important if the God of the universe in human flesh said the only way I can do this right is to commit everything to God in prayer, to make sure I'm following his way, not mine.